podcast is generously brought to you by Audible. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to www.audiblepodcast.com/Saratok.
Comments made on the Saratok Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Saratok Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Hi, my name is Derek Lane, and with Hope Povenmire, we bring you the final in the specials covering CSUN 2015.
We have interviews from APH, Canon, Baum, Click and Go, Freedom Scientific, and more.
So stay tuned.
Reporting for the Saratok Podcast Network at CSUN 2015, I have Larry Skutkan of American Printing House, a familiar voice and name to many of you. How are you, Larry?
Doing great. How about you?
Great. Fantastic. Really cool stuff here this year, and apparently APH is not the only ones, or let me rephrase that. APH is alongside all of the cool stuff here. So what do you got going on?
We've got several new things going on here this year. I think one of the most exciting is some updates to the TI-84 graphing talking calculator.
Oh, nice, nice.
We're adding Braille support to it. Connect a Braille display and get either UEB or Nemeth output.
Could I use an APH Braille display with that?
Absolutely. Anyone but AP, no.
All right. No. I got to refresh the Braille at home, so there we go.
All good.
All right.
And one of the other things that's nice about that upgrade is support for some of the more esoteric things that weren't in the first version, like
right.
Inequalities and scatter plots.
Very cool.
So that should be coming out this fall.
Very, very nice. And is there a way to export the graph at all? Like, I don't think it has.
Oh,
that
always has had that. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You can send it over to a PC and then emboss it if you want to.
Excellent. Because I asked too, because some of our listeners may not be familiar even that a talking graphing calculator actually even exists for that matter.
Well, should I give them a little 2-minute run there?
Sure. Why don't you go ahead and run us through a piece as to what this thing does? Because we always have new listeners all the time.
So, what's nice about this is it's exactly the same operation as the TI-84 that you would buy off the shelf, and it looks the same, so teachers are familiar with it. The only thing we've done is added about a 1-inch tall module on top that's got review keys and speech function keys on it.
Now, does it have a headphone jack?
It does.
Okay,
absolutely.
Excellent. So you can be unobtrusive about it. And
yep.
Excellent.
And now, of course, the thing we added was really two things, adding the vocalization of everything that it does and then also sonification of graphs.
Oh, very nice.
So you can either play an entire graph or walk through it point by point. And the way it represents it is with a higher pitch for higher values on the X values and or Y values, and then left to right balance for going
horizontally.
Gotcha,
so you have the stereo field for the... Gotcha,
yep.
Very nice.
Got a help mode, so if you forget what anything does, you can just, even in the middle of a calculation, you can find out what the key does, get some hints about it, and that includes the keys on the top that aren't the regular calculator keys.
Gotcha, okay.
So, that's it in a
that's
very
pretty,
brief...
That's pretty valuable there, because, I mean, if, you know, for a blind person, you know, or even somebody who's maybe low vision, what have you, having something like that, you know, a lot of math curriculum is a little bit challenging to do without...
Absolutely. Yeah. My only regret is we didn't do it 20 years ago. But,
well, I don't
you know,
think the technology could have supported
together.
It 20
yeah,
years ago.
Things just came together finally.
Fantastic. And what's the price? Oh, you got
it's
more.
It's $5.95.
You know, if you're going to get into the computer science or mathematics or something, you know, that's...
You've
that's
got
worth
to have
the investment.
These,
absolutely.
Yeah. Along the same lines of STEM content, we've just released a Nemeth tutorial that's universally designed and web-based.
Oh,
so
excellent.
That
so regardless of what device somebody has, they could use the...
Right, and it works equally well for sighted users. It's beautiful to look at on the screen and with a screen reader.
Fantastic.
It's interactive, so it's got exercises, lessons, and you can use it with a Braille display, or you can actually, if you're sighted, you can use it with your keyboard, six key entry on a regular QWERTY keyboard.
Very cool.
And that is actually free. It's available
Free.
It's available at tech.aph.org/Nemeth.
Excellent. Very, very nice. That's very
helpful. We've also released a version of a book that we had done. Christine Roman is the author. It's called CVI Complexity Sequences. CVI is cortical visual impairment.
Gotcha.
And the way the regular book works is in order to help develop, I'm not going to be very technical about the way I describe cortical visual impairments, but the way this book works is a series of cards where you have a target object, and let's just say it's a yellow duck. And the first in the sequence is a big yellow duck in the middle of the card, and then with each subsequent card, the background gets a little more complex, the duck gets a little smaller or gets hidden into the background, and this new EPUB version of this is an interactive version so that as the student touches the duck, wherever it is in the background, it'll quack at them or make a noise so they can know that they, you know, get some positive reinforcement.
Gotcha.
There. And that's, I like the price of the way these new things are going. It's priced at, I believe it's $9.
Okay, and where would somebody purchase that?
At APH.
Oh, okay, yeah. So they go to the APH website for that. Gotcha.
Yeah, what'll happen is we'll send you a link to download the EPUB.
Gotcha.
And it nice. Works on a, you know, any device that supports EPUB. I think the most popular one right now is probably the iPad, but it works well on all of them.
Very cool.
You know, actually, let me take that back. The least support is actually on Windows. There's not a great EPUB reader
I have
on Windows.
Not, yeah, the only time I use specialized software for EPUB, but it really only handles text.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, and we were really holding out hope for Adobe Digital Editions, but it's not quite supporting everything.
It's getting
everything.
Closer.
Yeah, it's getting
closer.
Better all the
getting
time.
Closer.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. I know they had a big thing today. I didn't get a... wasn't involved in it, so we'll see if there's anything connected to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm anxious to hear as well. What else have we got new here this year?
You had some note-taker collaborations and things? And...
Oh, yeah, the Braille Plus 18. We're still working on an upgrade for that for Android 4.4.
All right.
And hopefully we'll be releasing that within a month or two from now. And it's a major upgrade.
Oh, so you probably have some really cool features then coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think one of the nicest things is that, you know, with the previous version, you really couldn't review the screen. The screen reader just only let you see what controls actually had focus.
Right.
And, you know, we had written our applications to deal with those limitations, but it's pretty nice now to be able to run, Skype and Facebook or anything on it. Anything that's accessible, anyway.
Right.
And, of course, with the integrated Braille display, it makes it very convenient to always have your Braille right there.
And just as a reminder, too, you can correct me if I'm wrong. There's a lot of stuff I might get now, that has NLS integration, does it?
It does. Well, it's not actually released quite yet.
Okay, but it's coming.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I don't know if you know it or not, but APH has written a DAISY online delivery server. And
yeah,
we're using
yeah,
it on the,
about that.
Yeah, we're using it on the BookPort DT and soon the BookPort Plus and also writing a version for Android. And we've integrated four services with it. Bookshare, Open Library, the APH magazines, and then we're about to release NLS support, so
very
you can
cool.
directly download your books that way. Yeah, it is very nice.
You know, and, you know, books can be a great way for blind people and visually impaired people to kind of bridge the gap of maybe experiences they wouldn't immediately have access to.
Absolutely. Well, sighted people, too, for that matter.
Yeah. I think it's perhaps even more valuable for us.
Yeah. Nearby Explorer is steadily being upgraded as well. That's our GPS app for Android. We're actually trying to work with cities within the U.S. to get better OpenStreetMap integration into it. The OpenStreetMap data in the U.S. is a little bit spotty. So as you probably know right now, we're licensing Navtech maps, which gives us excellent maps. But we're limited to North America right now, so we hope to extend this out to the rest of the world and hopefully get the price down a little bit, too.
Just speaking of, what is the price for that right now?
It's $99 through the Google Play Store.
Okay. Right. That's still pretty good. And that, you know, since it's through the Play Store, then you're good on most of those updates. So.
Yeah, they get delivered automatically.
Very nice.
One of the nicest cool features we've added to Nearby Explorer in the last year or so is a map view feature where you can use the touch screen to touch the map, zoom in and out. It's really kind of interesting.
So you can kind of pre-travel the route before you take it then.
Or explore the world with it, because you can actually go out of North America with that.
Gotcha.
It's using Google Places service to tell you what's around where you're touching.
Very cool. So if you have any curiosity as to how things are structured in London, for example.
Well, yep. And you know what we found that a lot of students are doing with it, too, is when they're studying about their state, they can just zoom out to about a 200-mile view and be able to see the relationship of the counties and the cities.
For geography lessons and that sort of thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
Your nearby sport, does that give any specific information? I guess maybe this data is limited as to the configuration of the intersection itself.
So absolutely.
Because, you know, obviously not all intersections are perfect T's or perfect pluses there.
Yeah,
as you're moving towards an intersection, it gives you the exact configuration. What's even more interesting is I was mentioning this open data, and this has been fun working with Louisville Metro. It's pretty progressive city, and they've adopted an open data policy, and they've given us the locations of all the stoplights and stop signs and which way they're facing.
Oh, nice.
Which corners they're on. So we'll be integrating that into the data.
So you get proximity possibly even then to...
Yeah.
To
not just the configuration, right, but the control aspects
of it
as well.
That's helpful a lot.
And, you know, that's really just the start. There's a lot of other interesting kinds of data. We already know where the bus stops are, but park benches, trash cans, all of that's game.
Wow.
So we're pretty excited about that.
Very nice. Well, that sounds like some... And when is that projected to be released? Obviously, you can never be sure on software releases, but do you have a general ballpark when we can expect that?
Well, Nearby Explorer's out already.
Sorry, I guess I was thinking in the...
OSM integration?
Yeah.
I don't have a really good... I'd say this year sometime.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Excellent. And, I mean, you're doing a lot over here. Anything else that perhaps I may have otherwise missed, or maybe even something that's been around for a while that, you know, because like I said, we do have new listeners or somebody who may not be as familiar. APH has a rich history, of course.
Well, and, you know, we're making some history right now, too. We were very active leading the charge in a major open source project called Braille Blaster.
Okay.
And the idea there is to use the rich semantic markup available in EPUB and EPUB 3 to make the Braille translation and reading much more integrated, much more simple. That's not to say that we don't need transcribers.
Sure.
We need them more than ever. But it means that we can get more books to more students more quickly.
And they can and the transcribers can focus on those things that are much more nuanced.
Exactly. And there's plenty of them we need to do.
Absolutely.
So that, you know, in conjunction with that, we're doing a lot of work on the LibLouis project, too, which is sort of an international Braille translation library. So if you're any of your listeners are... coders in particular.
Few of those.
Yeah, feel free to check out libluie.org or brailleblaster.org and get some more information about that.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And then what is the best place for somebody to go to find out more information about American Printing House?
Probably aph.org is your best bet.
Fantastic. Well, Larry, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And
enjoy talking with you.
Thank you. This is Joshua Loya for the Serotalk Podcast Network, CSUN 2015. Thank you for listening. Reporting from CSUN 2015, this is Joshua Loya with the Serotalk Podcast Network, and I'm here with Stephen Keen, not King, but Stephen Keen.
That's correct.
Here with
Canon,
and amongst other things, I think you're mostly exhibiting a new copier and some accessibility features connected to that.
Yes, that's correct.
So what can you tell us about what you have going on here?
Well, for folks that are perhaps wheelchair-bound and they want to operate the control panel, we have a control panel. On this particular model, the control panel comes out and tilts down so that people can actually operate the control panel.
Gotcha. So they don't have to reach up real high. They can kind of still be in their chair and have a reasonable access to the controls of the machine.
That's correct. And we also have a Braille kit that we can lay over the hard keys that allows a person who's blind to be able to operate the hard keys.
So I don't have to guess or memorize what the keys are if I'm in my office and I need to make a copy.
Yes.
Well, that's very useful.
We also have a voice guidance unit that allows someone to speak into the microphone and command the machine to make copies.
Gotcha. So maybe they might have limited mobility.
Correct.
They can navigate all that. That's excellent.
Yes.
And for the voice guidance, I guess, they would still just look at the menus or what have you for knowing whether
or not it's strictly for copy.
Okay.
It's not for any of the other functions, but it's strictly for copy.
Okay.
And dots.
We also have something called Remote Operator Viewer that allows someone to actually operate the control panel from a workstation. They can sit at their computer,
gotcha.
And they can actually operate the control panel from there.
So assuming everything's all wired in the same network, then
yes. Yes, that's correct. Yes.
So that offers a lot of other solutions that would otherwise not be there.
Yes. We also have an accessibility handle for folks that actually want to lift the what we call the document feeder. They can place an original on the platen glass itself.
Okay.
So it's a handle that someone from a seated position could actually raise the document feeder to place
it. Very, very nice.
And usually that's for, let's just say it's a... the original is very thin paper, or it's something that's fragile.
You need to have something in the back.
Well, you don't want it going through the actual machine itself.
Right.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
Well, it sounds like you've been hard at work at making sure that people can use your products.
Yes. And actually, Canon won the contract with the IRS because we offered the most feature-rich accessibility features. So
even though
we may not have been the least expensive, the IRS went and purchased machines from us because it allowed people with disabilities to have access to office equipment.
Sure. Well, and that certainly helps. Something we champion at our organization and kind of our group of podcasters and contributors to our blogs and podcasts of advancing the opportunities for people with disabilities.
Yes.
And so if you're doing that, it allows people to work for the IRS or whatever organization takes advantage of the products that you've developed. So.
Section 508.
Yep. You're doing it. You're doing it well. Thank you.
Yes.
Anything else I may have missed that you'd like to mention? Any message to our listeners that they'd like to find more information about specifically the accessibility features of the...
They can go to the website, Canon USA.
Okay.
It's
USA.canon.com.
Yeah.
USA.canon.com.
Right.
Excellent.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And again, this is Joshua Loya for the Saratoga Podcast Network at CSUN 2015. Thank you for listening. Reporting from CSUN 2015 for the Saratoga Podcast Network, I have just made a recent acquaintance. This is Joshua Loya, and I'm going to stick my hand out here for you, sir. I have my other hand backwards, and you are...
Lawrence Green.
Lawrence Green. All right. Thank you. And you're here attending CSUN, just kind of checking out some of the products. What's been your experience so far?
So far, it's been pretty good. I'm kind of blown away by some of the stuff. But
what's jumped out at you? What have you been really kind of impressed by?
I've been looking at a scanner that reads, but, you know, it's a little smaller than some of those bigger ones.
Right, right. Absolutely.
So I checked that out, and I saw the Braille typewriter just a minute ago. Couldn't quite figure out how I would use that, but it was interesting.
Yeah. So, and you mentioned yourself that you're just kind of adjusting to this whole blind thing, yeah?
Exactly.
That probably gives you a little bit of hope, at least because I've been blind for a while. But when I first lost my eyesight, it was kind of crazy. Would is it encouraging to you to see all of the different options that are available here?
Yes, it is. I go to the Center for the Blind up in North County.
Gotcha.
And, you know, graduated from a few semesters up there and found out that I was one of like 5% of the blind people who ever take a course like that.
Right.
And I thought that was kind of odd.
Yeah.
But California had noticed that a lot of the blind citizens were falling, hurting themselves.
Right.
So they decided to start a center to help the blind people keep their balance and move about.
Very
and
nice.
To top that off, then they added the Braille and the computers and stuff like that.
Very, very
It's
cool.
been really helpful.
Excellent.
I'm still attending. I'm taking my third semester of Braille. I'm taking a computer class. I just got a new iPad.
Very, very cool.
And learning how to use that.
It sounds like you don't give up very easily then.
Well, I figure if I am blind, I might as well learn how to do stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And do you have, because we have mostly other blind people, and people have maybe a little bit of eyesight or losing some of it that is our audience. Do you have any encouragement or any words of wisdom you'd like to offer to any of them? besides?
One of the things that they said was most of the blind people go home and are just mad and stay blind at home and don't really learn anything. I would encourage anybody that is recently blinded to take a course in mobility and awareness and something to get you back out into the world and participate. And I thought it was a great move for me, and I think it would be for anybody.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Lawrence. Again, this is Joshua Loya for the Serotalk Podcast Network, CSUN 2015. Thank you for listening.
Where you're welcome.
Reporting from CSUN 2015 with the Serotalk Podcast Network, I am Joshua Loya, and I'm here joined by Gordon Hudek of Amutech. And how are you, sir?
Very good.
Excellent.
It's good to meet you, Joshua.
Thank you. Likewise. And I've been using your canes. You know, I do have my dog here, but you know, occasionally I still use an Amutech cane, and I did previously. So nice job on that. And
Thank you very much.
What do you have going on here?
Basically, we're introducing all of our new joints on canes. So previously we had a cane we called our premium cane.
Right.
It was sold in the $80 price range. And what we've done is we've managed to bring the cost of those joints down to where we put them on our traditional canes at the same prices we've had them before.
Excellent.
So what it is, it's a conically shaped joint. So because of the shape, it fits together for a very tight joint. They're made of anodized aluminum, so they're extra strong. And they do not, because anodized aluminum is so much stronger
right.
than a regular aluminum joint, if you get a piece of sand or something like that in there, in the old days, that was basically the end of your folding cane. Now,
yeah.
the anodizing makes it so hard that it'll actually crush that piece of dirt or sand, and the cane virtually will not stick. The other thing it does is, because they're conically shaped,
right.
all you have to do is hold on to the grip of the cane and let the cane go, and it folds perfectly, unfolds perfectly every time.
Excellent. Now, with that new shape, because admittedly the cane that I have is a little bit older, does that help prevent some of the potential pinching that you might accidentally
yes,
get?
Yes, and that's why we say to people, with an Amutech cane, our advice is always just let the cane go.
Yeah.
And hold it by the grip, and if it doesn't seat, if each joint doesn't seat perfectly, then that's a manufacturer's defect, and we'll replace that.
Oh, well, you heard it here, folks. So excellent.
With this new joint, we think basically we've solved most of the problems associated with aluminum canes, and we do have it on all of our aluminum canes and all of our carbon fiber or graphite canes.
Excellent. And as far as the range of canes available, because you know we may have some people who are just needing now to either purchase one for themselves or for someone else.
But we have our probably starting with our slimline graphite cane, which is kind of a hybrid. It's between an ID cane and a mobility cane. It's meant for light-duty use, but it takes any of the Amutech tips.
Gotcha.
So it's a favorite with guide dog users, people who work in offices, professionals, that kind of thing, because it's so lightweight and it folds up so small. So then we move into our basic aluminum range of canes, up into our fiberglass range of canes, and then into our best canes, which are the carbon fiber canes. We also offer wood grips, cork grips, as well as the thermoplastic resin grips.
Excellent.
And
so
those come in five colors.
Excellent. A little
so
stylish.
You get basic black, you can have orange, pink, blue, or green. We do have 10 colors of tape for canes. But again, we don't recommend that a person walking out in traffic or that kind of thing use anything but the traditional white cane. The colored canes are more for preschoolers, getting
right.
them to accept the idea of using a cane. It's something different. It's personalized. If you're an adult and you want to, you know, have some kind of personalization, what we say is get one of our highlight canes. That's the one that has the colored grip and a colored tip, but the rest of the cane is still traditional white
gotcha.
Or white and red.
Excellent, excellent. As you mentioned, you have quite a range of tips available for your canes because some people have different
yes.
interests there.
We have probably the widest range of tips in the industry. I think we're up to 16 now. One of the things I was going to show you was it's our latest tip.
All right, I'll use my other hand so I don't get an extra bunch of micros.
It was developed by an O&M in North Dakota.
Oh, that's interesting.
He calls it a Dakota disc tip, and I'm going to let you describe it.
It looks like a flying saucer attached to the bottom of your cane in reverse. So the curved part appears to be on the bottom, and then there's sort of like a little bit of give, maybe almost like a slight curved, springy sort of look.
Yeah, so it always sits at the right angle.
Yeah, and it looks like it could be really useful, say, for the sand, outdoor type of situation, or maybe where there's you have a high chance of it getting stuck?
He developed it for the pea gravel that's under children's play structures.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because he teaches at a school for the blind children.
I can see that being useful for hiking, possibly.
And what we discovered, being from Canada, is that it's really good in snow.
Yeah, absolutely.
And someone from San Diego said it would be great down at the beach.
Yep, I can totally see that.
So, and it works exceptionally well on gravel.
Excellent. And I noticed, too, that somebody had come by here yesterday, one of my associates, that said that it's relatively easy to change the tips in your canes.
Well, we offer three different methods of attaching a tip to a cane. So we have our most popular is our hook style.
Okay.
So when you want to change a tip on an Ambutech cane, you pull the cord out of the end, and there's a little device called a cord lock that nestles across the end of the cane
gotcha,
and holds the elastic cord.
Gotcha, I feel that.
Then you can just unhook the tip at your leisure, put a new one on, and you stretch the cord.
Gotcha, and that cord lock helps keep that from your cane cord from getting stuck inside the cane there.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
And then we have the traditional slip-on style, which is a friction fit.
Right, but I suppose the one advantage over that that the cord option has is that you're less likely to fall off if you have any.
It's less likely to fall off, and it's much easier to change.
Gotcha.
A slip-on tip, you know, once it's been on a cane for a while, you're looking at vice grips or something like that to get it off.
I haven't been able to take my cane tip off, absolutely.
Yeah. And like once with a little practice, you can change a hook style tip in probably less than 2 seconds. And the last one we have that's popular in Europe is an 8mm threaded attachment.
Oh, okay.
So the tip actually has a thread on it and it screws into the end of the cane.
Very nice.
And the reason we offer them is just different people have different likes and dislikes.
Gotcha. So going back to the actual tips that are available, so that was that disc tip that you have. Is that what you call it?
Yes, the Dakota disc.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Again, I'm not exaggerating. It looks like a flying saucer in reverse, but very useful there.
First prototype was an upside-down 6-inch Frisbee.
Well, it's kind of what it looks like. So you have that. I'm sure you have some of the other ones people are more familiar with.
We have our smallest but longest-lasting tip is a ceramic tip.
All right.
We have the traditional metal glide tip. We have tips for constant contact, so our rolling tips, our rolling marshmallow, jumbo roller, rolling ball tips. We have two-touch tips such as our flex tip, our marshmallow, our pencil, our stationary ball tips. So a wide arrangement or a wide variety of tips for whatever the person prefers.
Excellent. And if somebody wants more information, or where would they go for that?
You can call our order desk, which is 1-800-561-3340, or you can go to www.ambutech.com.
And how on the off chance that someone needs to know how to spell that, how would you spell Ambutech there?
Ambutech, and either Melissa or Bethany will answer the phone.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very, very much, Gordon.
Thanks,
and,
Joshua.
Again, this is Joshua Loya for Saratok Podcast Network at CSUN 2015. Thank you for listening. Joshua Loya with the Saratok Podcast Network, CSUN 2015, here talking to David Bradburn of Baum. Hello, sir.
Hi there, Joshua. How are you?
Doing great. Glad I got a chance to talk to you. You have some fantastic Braille displays and some other good products, and I'd like to hear what you got.
Well, thanks. Well, first of all, we're very happy to be at CSUN again, of course. We have two new products, one that some of your listeners will already be familiar with, and that's our Vario Ultra Braille display, which, of course, we introduced last year. So we have a number of those here, which we're showing. We also have our folding CCTV products, the Vizio Book, which some people may already be familiar with.
Yeah,
it's sold through the
yep.
American Printing House.
Yep.
And then we have a newer product. It's the Vizio Desk. It's slightly larger, features a full HD camera and display, so the image quality is exceptionally good.
So that's a 1080p video then?
It is.
Okay.
It is indeed. As opposed to 720p for
right,
the standard
right.
Vizio Book.
Right.
So we've been showing that one here as well. And so those are kind of our new things here.
Sure.
And then they're just the usual kind of other products that we've been selling for a few years now.
Excellent. And you've been with the company for quite some time now, yes?
So, I've been with Baum USA since its inception, which
gotcha.
Was back in 2013. So
okay.
The company has been around in the U.S. now for about a year and a half. But Baum Retech, the parent company, has actually been around for over 30 years.
Yeah, I knew that Baum had been around for a long time.
Yes.
Maybe that's where my confusion was.
So. Right. Well, and so my connection to Baum, though, has been going for a little bit longer than a year and a half.
Okay.
So I'm from the UK originally, as you might have guessed. And when I worked in the UK, the company that I worked with at the time distributed Baum's technology.
Okay.
So I
you had a close relationship with them for a while now.
Yes, indeed.
Excellent. And what is your, I guess, what are you the most excited about? Obviously, you have a couple new products, but if anything you think is particularly unique and maybe sits just a little bit different from what else is out there? Because, you know, there's similar products. There might be something particularly different.
The Vari Ultra, of course, you know, people continue to like its form factor. It's right. Very lightweight. It is constructed with a very attractive but strong brushed aluminum.
Yeah, I heard some people compare it to some Apple products in terms of the aesthetic value as well as the function.
You know, it's interesting to hear you say that. We hear that, too. A lot of people will liken it, actually, to the kind of MacBook look and
right.
feel.
The same brushed aluminum thing like
yes,
you're talking about. Yeah.
Indeed. And actually from a from an appearance point of view, if you have the two devices alongside each other,
you think it's an Apple Braille display.
You'd think it would be, yes. but we'll take full credit for the design though. It's a Baum product through and through. So I think that's certainly something. The other thing that address the fact that, you know, we had some painful months at the back end of 2014. Namely, with the backorder situation with Vari Ultra.
Right.
We originally were hoping that device was going to ship by the end of July of last year. And as anyone who's listening that has ordered a product knows, in some cases people are still waiting.
Sure.
The good news is, and you asked what I'm excited about,
right.
This is something I'm excited about,
sure.
Is that we will we'll receive some of our devices next week, which will go to customers who've been waiting for a while.
So the supply chain's starting to move along then a little
so
bit.
So, in fact, the supply chain should be sorted out by the end of July. The end of July.
Well,
I hope that's not true.
Yeah,
the end of
that.
March.
Okay.
End of March of this year.
Not too long.
We're within a month of being kind of having that behind us, everyone having their device that's ordered one, and we'll have products in stock after that.
Excellent. Now, I did hear there was a bit of an issue with kind of a workaround that you've had to do with connecting the some of your products to iOS. And then I think it sounds like you may have a fix coming soon as well.
So actually, the fix has been around for a while. It's
okay.
It's work that Apple did, in fact, and that is, you know, you can't just connect any Braille, any Bluetooth device to an
Apple. Apple's pretty tight-fisted about that kind of
they
stuff.
They are.
Yeah.
They care about security. And so what has to happen is you send your device to Apple, and they basically build in support for that device so that when an Apple device sees your Braille display in the future, it says, okay, this is safe, let's connect.
Right.
Because that isn't available yet, it's part of the... There is a beta version that is out there for Apple's iOS that does include support for Vari Ultra. We've heard from people that have had a chance to use it that it works well. I don't know what the timing is. Only Apple could tell you that.
Yeah, well, there's an Apple event on Monday, so we'll see how that goes.
Who knows? If it's part of that, that would be terrific. In any event, the short-term solution is that we have to pretend that Vari Ultra is another Baum Braille display that is trusted. We call that device emulation.
Hey, and if it works, right?
It does.
Any shortcomings
but
with that? Or?
If there's any shortcoming at all, and this was actually something that the National Federation of the Blind discovered during a review of Vari Ultra, is that if you connect three or more iOS devices, you'll find that the third device won't actually connect.
Got it.
We don't know why that happens. Certainly, you can connect five different devices just fine. But if they're all iOS devices, you're going to have problems.
Gotcha.
So we'll see if that's fixed with this 8.3 release of iOS.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you have all that stuff sorted out very shortly here.
Yes.
And you do have some pretty good Braille there, so that certainly helps. Good solid engineering.
Yes.
And what are the jumping in price points that people can look at if they want to kind of see what you're about?
So if you're talking about Vari Ultra, there are just two prices that you need to know about.
Okay.
The 20-cell version retails for $2,395.
Okay.
The 40-cell retails for $3,995. And in both cases, the price includes the carry case, the device itself, of course,
sure. And
a two-year factory warranty. So if anything goes wrong, and that includes the battery, by the way,
during
those 2 years, that is covered, and all servicing and support is done by us, Baum Retech, here in the USA.
Excellent. Anything else I may have missed or perhaps talked over? I know we're kind of winding down CSUN here, so we're all perhaps operating on fumes at this point.
No, I think we've gotten the main points. And I think if there's anything just for the listeners to take away from this interview, it's that we're about a month away from being in a fully kind of in-stock position with Varia Ultra, so the back order situation will be over. I think that's huge. The second piece is just remembering that the Apple update to their iOS is coming soon, and that will include native support for Varia Ultra. I think that's going to be great for any of the iOS users out there.
Great.
And the third thing is for any low vision users is just remembering that in addition to the Vizio Book, which has been very popular, we now have the slightly larger Vizio Desk.
Excellent, excellent. Well, and just if people want to find out more, where should they go?
There's two things they can do. One is to go to the website, which is www.baumusa.com. That's BAUMUSA.com. Or they can call us toll-free at 855-620-7985.
Excellent. David, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joshua.
Thank you. And
pleasure.
Joshua Loya for the Serotalk Podcast Network 2015 at CSUN in San Diego, California. Thank you for listening.
Where have you been? You've left me hanging on three lunch dates.
Nice to see you, too.
Well, yeah, but question stands. Where have you been?
You miss me that much?
Enough to be curious.
You really want to know?
I do.
I've been trying to get through this semester. But, like, oh... Like, I just went to the bookstore, got a whole bunch of books, scanned them, and my OCR software, I found out when I ran it this past day, is out of date. Screen reader is out of date. Windows is out of date. Office, I thought I updated. I'm so broke, I can't even, you know, pay attention.
Is why you've left me in the lurch. Fair enough.
Well, I'm sorry. But I finally decided, you know... I gotta step away from my stuff, because if I don't, I'm gonna go insane.
I think I can help you put some sanity back into your stuff, though.
Promise.
Have you heard of a company called Serotek?
No, I don't think so. Who are they?
Serotek's a pretty cool company that makes some pretty awesome and economical AT software.
Oh?
Yeah, like their Accessibility Anywhere package comes to mind.
Oh, what's in that?
Well, you've got some scanning software, a screen reader, and a pretty cool little multimedia program called SamNet.
Really?
Yeah.
So, how much are we talking for that?
Well, that's $21.95 per month or $240 a year.
$21.95 is less than the cost of a movie date these days. wink, nudge, nudge.
See, it's funny you bring up the subject of movies because SamNet has one of the fastest growing collections of described movies and TV programs out there.
Hey, that's cool. So, where can I get this?
You can go to serotek.com/accessibilityanywhere, download the trial, and probably get hooked.
I just might, actually. serotek.com/accessibilityanywhere. Okay. I think I can remember that.
Cool.
Hey, are you hungry?
Starving.
Well, you know, since you did just tell me all about Serotek and probably save me a whole bunch of money, I can try your little balanced thing and see if you want to go and get something to eat. I'll treat.
You're on
Serotek, the Accessibility Anywhere people.
Reporting from CSUN 2015, this is Joshua Loya with the Serotalk Podcast Network, and I have Joe Chaffee here of Click&Go. Hello, sir.
Hello, Josh. Joshua?
Hi. Yeah, absolutely. So, first off, tell us a little bit about Click&Go, because I actually remember hearing about you guys a couple of years ago, and you guys have been around for a little bit, but we may have some listeners that don't really know what you do.
We're a small startup. We began 4 years ago. And it developed from my personal experience as a teacher of deafblind adults and teens. And my work was focused on tactile sign language and mobility. So for the blind hearing users out there or listeners, you can all relate to how significant a change it might be to suddenly lose your hearing as a blind traveler. So all of my mobility work was with people who were deaf and blind, and I wanted to develop a system that would help them navigate environments indoors and outdoors. So I went to a programmer, and we created Click&Go, which is a customized navigation technology and service, where we send teams of mobility instructors out to compile all of the relevant data for venues, and then we offer it free to all travelers. And we do, our priorities are transit and higher ed.
Gotcha. Yeah, those are some of the most complicated campuses to manage, especially if you're on a new college campus. You know, never taken a class there before. Absolutely.
Right. And we feel like they're the most important venues because for a young adult who's needing to compete and create a life for themselves.
Absolutely.
They've got to get through higher ed confidently. They need to be able to travel confidently. And when they do get out, they're not going to be driving their personal car to an interview. They need to use transit. So we're pushing this primarily in those two venues, but we think that it's important across the spectrum in the community.
Absolutely. Excellent. So what types of information can you get? Maybe walk us through a basic experience of what a user might...
Okay. We just finished a very detailed pilot for the largest subway station in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
And what we did was we compiled exact walking directions from every bus stop in the perimeter neighborhood above this three-level underground subway station. So every bus stop, exiting the bus, walking to every entrance of the station... directions from every entrance of the station to every platform, from every platform to every possible transfer platform, to every customer service kiosk, to every exit, back to every possible bus stop. And it's all in a searchable, accessible database.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
I can't tell you how much that would be very useful to me personally as a blind traveler.
Well, we did this one pilot, and the response from the blind community was so strong, we've gotten a green light to do 5 more subway stations in D.C.
Excellent.
So we start that in April. And we've added iBeacon support and low vision mapping to all of the travel.
Very, very nice.
Yeah, so what we've noticed is that a lot of the blindness wayfinding technologies seem to restrict their information to the totally blind traveler. When a great many people can use their residual vision, but Google Maps just don't do it. So we now offer customized high contrast, zoomable, panable, printable maps that they can take with them along with the narratives, and it gives them a much better package to work from.
Absolutely, yeah. Because somebody who's like when I had maybe a little bit of usable vision many years ago, paying attention to the tactile, the texture of a sidewalk would be relatively useless information to me because I didn't pay attention to that.
Right.
But I still needed assistance in working through a new area.
Right.
And that sounds like you've really bridged that gap nicely.
Right. And we'll do exactly what you just described. So we'll describe. You step out of the bus onto a brick sidewalk. Follow that until, we'll talk about slopes and textures and other cues that only blind travelers are thinking about. But they never get those directions when they ask pedestrians because they don't know how to give those directions.
Sure.
So that's one thing that we've been working on, and the iBeacon support is really another add-on value.
Unless you'd have a lot better accuracy, I expect, too, even on some of that.
With the iBeacons?
Yeah.
Well, what we use them for are landmark identification, construction and hazard announcements, and other orientation support. But because they send out messages radially in all directions, you can't put walking directions in the beacon because they'll be wrong for most everyone except for that one guy who's walking from the right direction.
Correct.
So when I kind of laugh when I hear about these other technologies that have just quickly launched a wayfinding system with only iBeacons, they clearly don't know blindness. And all you can really do is landmark identification, orientation support, but you need to have directions as the backbone of the system.
Gotcha. So what you've done then is taken a more holistic approach to indoor navigation?
I think so. And we not only do this for blind travelers, we have separate database for wheelchair travelers. So we want this to be inclusive
of... Right, because you go through and you may not know, there's no ramp over here.
Right, and I've actually seen, this is almost a joke, in New York City, I used to work for NYU, and this is no knock on NYU, but curb, the corner near the disability services office had no cut in it. So it was terrible. But I remember, if you were wheeling around an icy February, sidewalk in a manual chair... You want to know the most efficient way to get to your accessible entrance.
Because you don't want to stay out. I mean, especially in New York, it's cold in the winter.
Right, right. But we specialize in the blindness navigation. We try to include all of the information that our team has a great deal of experience in collecting.
Right, right.
And we work very closely with blind and deafblind consultants for preparing our narratives.
Very, very cool. What's perhaps just around the bend?
Well, really, the newest features are... The low vision maps are an add-on.
Okay.
That's nobody else is providing low vision mapping, and then the iBeacon support is really the rage. We're seeing this sort of launched now by a number of companies. And so we've added that to our service, but we're trying to, what's new is really the venues that we're going to. So we're doing a number of additional subway stations in D.C. We're talking to the New York City Metro and Department of Transportation to start a pilot there. And we're getting offers to do this internationally. We've already done a little bit in Japan and Thailand. Yeah.
Very, very nice. All right. And anything perhaps I may have missed you think is really important for people to know about?
Well, we just launched a new app, an iPhone app. It's for all of our data is free for all users.
Very nice.
So the app is in the iTunes store. And our website is clickandgomaps.com. So that's clickandgomaps.com. And everything is on that website.
Excellent. And so then for two things kind of connected to that then, if a user feels that your technology would be very useful for, say, a place that they go to frequently or they expect to go to frequently, what's their best path in getting the ball rolling at something like
that?
Yeah,
you know, and that's really part of our model. We want blind travelers to know that this is an option. And
right.
It's a free option, but it's a quality option.
Sure.
And that if they let their local transit organization know that this is available, and if we've gotten the support from actually NFB and ACB at the same time.
Oh, hey, they can agree on something.
Yeah,
that's
that is not an easy thing to accomplish.
No, that's fantastic.
Yeah, we've had several state chapters, presidents and NFB and ACB support us simultaneously, and that's been a really good sign.
That's huge.
That
it's
we've
huge.
Got something.
So we're
that,
making history here, folks.
Yeah.
We're uniting the two major blindness organizations. You can thank, click, and go for that.
All right. I put bets down that the Palestinians and the Israelis were going to work it out before the NFB and the ACB, I'm going to lose my money on that.
Maybe click and go can be the key to Middle East peace.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
who knows?
Right.
But also, too, so again, just to clarify with that if somebody wants this technology available, their best bet is to contact the organization that handles that particular area and then give them your information.
Right, like if it's a university, the Disability Services Office, and then they to hand our information off to them, and they can then contact us and we can talk about doing the compilation work for that venue.
Gotcha. And then, of course, if somebody is, say, for example, has any particular position in a disability services division, or even maybe they don't. Maybe they happen to be the executive manager of a hotel or something, and they would like to incorporate this technology. Their best bet is to go to your website and contact you that way?
Sure, absolutely.
And again, one more time, because I want to make sure that people know where to go.
It's clickandgomaps.com, just spelled out. It's click and go. clickandgomaps.com.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Joe. Reporting for Serotalk Podcast Network at the CSUN 2015 conference, this is Joshua Loya.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Reporting for Serotalk, this is Joshua Loya at CSUN 2015. I have with me Eric Damery from Freedom Scientific. Hello, Eric.
Hi, Joshua. How are you?
Good. Very good. And just as an aside, I mentioned before we started recording that you are, amongst JAWS users, quite the legend. You are cited yourself, but you spend a lot of time with the product and are pretty competent at using it by both people who've met you and people I know who have previously worked for your company.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I came into the industry back in the early 90s, and I didn't really know how to use a computer when I started, so I kind of learned how to use a computer with a keyboard and JAWS running, so it helped. And understanding how to use the technology is key, and that's been one of the reasons I think JAWS has been so successful, that we've always had about 30% of our staff in every department in the company that users of the products. And when you have to use the product yourselves, you usually make sure it works pretty good.
Sure, sure. Yep. Excellent. So that said, I know you just recently had JAWS 16 came out not too long ago.
Yes.
And you got some pretty interesting things there.
Yep. October, we released 16. We've done a couple of updates. There's another one coming in March and another one scheduled for April. The key features we did, the command search, a keystroke that JAWS users can access, a real simple search engine. You use insert space for the layered mode and press the letter J for JAWS command search. And it puts you in like a Google-type search for JAWS. So if you're trying to find skim reading and don't know the keystroke, if you type in reading or type in skim, you'll find it right at the top of the list, and you can learn all about skim reading and find out what the keystroke is.
Very nice. It sounds like it would be very not only beneficial for users, but also for trainers.
It's good for trainers.
They have to remember a whole bunch of stuff, more so than maybe your average user might. Yeah, so that's very useful.
It's really good for novice and advanced users to try and find those advanced features. It's not for the beginning user.
Sure.
You know, learn all the basics, but then when you want to come back, and if you're in Excel, the command search knows you're in Excel, and it will bring up things related to Excel.
Oh, so it's context to the context
sensitive. Yes,
fantastic.
So it's a really nice search.
Very, very nice.
We also enhanced the convenient OCR feature that we added a couple of years ago, which used to just do a window or a control or a screen. But now, if you've got a PDF document that's a blank document because someone had scanned it in,
pictures, right?
So now you can use insert space O for OCR and D for document, and it will grab that PDF whole document, OCR it, and deliver it to you in a results viewer type window like Research It, and you can read it, select it, copy it to the clipboard, do whatever
you have to.
It's really
nice.
Yep, and we changed forms mode, which only had manual and auto before, and now we've added another feature called semi-automatic. So it's like a crossbreed between the two. It was developed because of recommendations from employees at IBM who are working with web-based applications all the time. And when you're moving through the application with the arrow key, instead of it jumping in and out of forms mode all the time, they wanted to be able to just stay in virtual mode and press enter when they get to a field that they want to fill out. So it's much quicker to navigate.
Yeah.
Yet if they tab through the form, when they hit an edit field, it'll automatically drop into forms mode so they can just enter it.
That's
so it's
really,
it's kind of best
there.
Of both worlds.
Absolutely.
And in a work environment, I think it's much better.
Definitely. Kind of ping-ponging back and forth between history as well as the current release. What is just one of the biggest insights that you've gotten from perhaps not just JAWS, but JAWS are your most legendary for working with. What is one of the insights you've gotten over the course of your time with the company, you think?
Wow.
That's
a deep question. You know, I'll tell you, we celebrated our 20th anniversary this year.
Yeah, that's a milestone.
It is a milestone, and we've done a lot of thinking and talking about history as we were going through the process, and I had hooked up Jonathan Mosen to interview Ted Henner, and as I listened to the interview that Ted had done on the FS cast this week, I really think back to some of the things that he had told me. And I remember one of the things in the early days when we were developing JAWS for Windows and we were selling everybody else's products. We sold Blazy's products. We sold AI Squared's products. We sold Arkenstone's products. But Ted said, we got to focus in on the screen reader because of all of the tools that a blind person needs to be able to access equipment, the screen reader is the single most important one. Everyone will need the screen reader, and we have to put our effort there because that's the key to education, that's the key to employment, and we've got to make it the best we can. So I remember that thought, and he said really focus in on making it the best.
Well, it allows you to have access to a whole bunch of stuff. As I mentioned, I've been using it since 3.5.
That's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you do have some other exciting things kind of coming around for Freedom Scientific. Anything else that you're personally excited about?
So this week, and we unveiled it actually at the ATIA conference back in February, is our new Topaz PhD. It's a portable CCTV unit, and it folds up. It's about the size of a large laptop. You can carry it around with you. It's got a battery in it. You can set it on a desk, open it up. You've got two models. One of them's got a 12-inch, and then the other one's got a 15-inch screen. All the features of a Topaz.
Excellent.
But it's portable. You can carry it around. It's got a nice little...
It weighs very much, doesn't it?
No, it weighs about 8 pounds.
Considerably less heavy than an old CCTV from 10 years ago.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was thinking about it the other day. We were up in our showcase suite here where we do presentations, and Brad was setting up for his presentation. And he walked up front, and there was no CCTVs out. And I said, Brad, you start in 2 minutes. What are you doing? And he said, that's all right. I'm just going to talk them through, and then I'll set them up. And that's unusual. Normally, when you're going to do a presentation, you'd get your equipment out of the box, and you'd get it plugged in, and you'd set it all up. He started a video, a short video people watched, which demonstrated how it worked. And while the video played, he reached into his bag, pulled it out, put it on the table, opened it up, turned it on, and that was it. No power, no nothing. It was just great. So
very nice.
Really, really fantastic to see how it's changed.
Very, very cool. And, well, I definitely appreciate the time. And if you have anything else that you'd like to communicate to our listeners that you think is important, perhaps I may have overlooked?
You know, I know we have a lot of listeners out there, and let me take a minute to just talk about the licensing changes that happened in JAWS 16.
Gotcha.
This is an important one, especially for home users. So in the past, we've always had JAWS Professional and JAWS Standard. The standard
right.
version only worked on the OS with home in its name. And oftentimes today or in the past few years, you'd go and buy a new computer at Best Buy or wherever, and you'd get one that had a pro operating system on it. And people would just upgrade their standard license to a pro license, and they'd have to pay $200 for their SMA.
Right.
So if you have your personal license that you use on your equipment and you don't install that license at work on their equipment, then convert it back to a home edition. It'll work on the pro operating systems. It'll lower your SMA to 120, and it will make it much more affordable to continue to use JAWS for Windows.
Excellent. And the limitations then again are just on one system, or what's the...
No, you can install it on all the computers
right.
you own
okay.
and use the license wherever you have to. And if you're not sure, get your serial number, call Freedom Scientific, get a hold of the customer service department, give them your serial number and say, what are my options? If you have a pro, look into going back to home edition and get your SMA price reduced.
Excellent. No,
okay?
That's a good time. Thank you.
Good. All
and,
right.
Again, Joshua Loya with Serotalk, reporting at CSUN 2015. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Reporting from CSUN, just at the end of the day, CSUN 2015 for the Serotalk Podcast Network, Standard Confusing, I Need More Coffee, Joshua Loya here, talking to Nikki Warren, and I just happened to meet her on Twitter. We follow each other on Twitter, and she was very kind. My dog needed to use the restroom. She had an extra bag. I was out. So, Nikki, since I'm here and I happened to run into you, what did you think of CSUN?
I love CSUN. That's my favorite conference, and I can't get enough of CSUN, so I'm
Excellent.
Here.
Excellent. Now, what did you get to see? What impressed you?
Well, I'm the exhibit only / hallway attendee.
Yep.
So,
that's all right.
You know, I love a lot of checking out a lot of stuff. Of course, I want a lot of stuff, which I cannot buy.
Right, a lot of it's very expensive, yep.
Yeah, I would love to have the Smart Beetle from HIMSS, which is coming up sometimes, coming out, the Braille display.
Oh, yeah, you got some good Braille displays coming
out. Yeah. And I'm also excited about Nearby Explorer for Android Lite version coming out.
I'm
one of the rare blind Android users.
Oh, there's a few out there.
Yeah.
And so I expect since our higher ups at Serotalk are listening, I suspect you want some more Android coverage.
Of course, yes. I'm so mad that you guys canceled that Android show.
We'll see about bringing it back. We'll see what we can do.
Because, you know, that was my go-to source.
Yes. But we're still kicking. We're still making some changes. So
sure. And, you know, I love the new team.
Thank you.
I listened to the voice of my Facebook friends for the first time, Katie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Excellent.
Even though I'm sad that the previous team
sure.
is gone, but I'm excited that the SBN is alive and kicking, and I love the new team, too.
Excellent. All right, and sorry, Mr. Derek Lane, about the wind. I know you'll have a field day editing that out. Do you have anything else you'd like to either say about CSUN or otherwise, since you have a free platform here? I guess I'm opening up a can of worms there, possibly.
Hey, CSUN, welcome to San Diego.
All right.
I'm sorry you guys are going away.
All right, and on Twitter, I know you're on Twitter. Would you like like us to mention your Twitter account?
Sure. I have two Twitter accounts. One I manage as a volunteer for a nonprofit, which is Access San Diego. No space or nothing. It's at Access San Diego. And my personal one is at Blink San Diego.
And that's where I tweet my personal stuff in Dice World and Trivia Crack and everything.
Oh, she's looking for a Trivia Crack challenges, folks.
Oh, yeah. It's accessible on Android with TalkBack now.
Yep. Yay. Very happy.
Yay.
All right. Well, thank you, Nikki. This is Joshua Loya for CSUN 2015 in the middle of the wind for Derek Lane's amusement. Saratoga Podcast Network, Joshua Loya, thank you for listening.
We'd like to thank you for listening to SPN's coverage of CSUN 2015.
We would also like to thank Joshua Loya for gathering the interviews and those who gave their time to be interviewed.
For more information about products or services mentioned in these interviews, check out our show notes.